to carry lessons in or mail large packets to a chaplain. He would then distribute them. Please pray as we are leaving in a few days to visit our daughters in Michigan. After visiting for a few days, we will return home and leave right afterwards for the Rock of Ages National Missions Conference in Greenville, South Carolina. As you can see, that's going on right now. Our video media ministry is going well. Thousands are listening to video preaching and teaching on an app located on a state tablet, which thousands of inmates have received in prisons and jails across America. Your support, marked media ministry, would be greatly appreciated. Recently, we learned that a message on anger was heard through the media ministry over a few thousand times. Please pray. Men are coming to salvation through Christ and receiving discipleship. Please pray for me as I prepare for some video recorded preaching scheduled during the weekdays at the National Conference. There are 4 slots scheduled for me. I need prayer and the Lord's hand of direction for these recorded messages. We hope to bring back some cases of Bibles. Please pray for our travel. Your prayers, support, and help for us are always most appreciated. And then Psalm 62:8 from Wendell Rogers. Pastor.
All right, it's good to see you here tonight, and glad you're here. This past month was really a huge blessing, and I hope you enjoyed every Sunday, and just having all the guest speakers in. I say guest speakers, Brother Ferris is not really a guest anymore, but always glad to have him preach. It was a tremendous, tremendous month, and I'm glad that the Lord allowed us to do that. So this Sunday we won't have dinner. I wonder if anybody will show up. It was really good. I just thoroughly enjoyed it the entire month. I hope you did too. Hope you got a lot out of the preaching this past month. And so can't ask the Lord for anything more than that. Amen. We'll go ahead and take a look at the prayer list now and begin with some praises. We put on one call yesterday, Kelly Wilcox's mom, Brenda Sparin. And Brenda did do well with her surgery. And so she'll be going into rehabilitation. As we mentioned, she broke her shoulder last week and then broke her ankle just 2 days ago, I think it was. So I think they live in Louisiana, but she's doing well. And then my sister Donna, she did well with her surgery today, with the surgery on her neck. And she, for that part of life where she's just a month or so away from 80, she did extremely well. So thank you for praying for those people. Do you have any other praises? Let's start with praises tonight, not prayer requests, just praises. Any praises tonight? I do praise the Lord for this past month. I really do. Had a go ahead. Amen. Amen. I'm still in the spring of my life.
Praise for a number of new candidates that we've had coming lately for the chaplaincy.
That's good.
Last week we took on 2 brand new missionaries that were very excited about, both of them, one going to Myanmar, the other to plant a church in the south side of Chicago. And we're excited about the quality of these families, these young families that God brings to us. Excited about
And that's a big deal, too, after what we heard Sunday, where there is a decline in people willing to go to the field, people coming off to see people willing to go is awfully encouraging, too. Anyone else with a praise tonight? Yeah, it was. Praise the Lord. It was a good prayer meeting. And, you know, it is hard, to be honest. Even Wednesday night sometimes can be hard. You know, your hump day of the week and you're tired and you're kind of dragging. And sometimes it's just hard to motivate. But the Lord honors those who honor Him.
Yes.
He honors those who honor Him. And you're honoring not me. You're honoring Him.
Amen.
And I'm grateful that you're doing this tonight as well. So praise the Lord for those good reports. And we'll go ahead and just mention that we're in the transition now of the summer, where we, last night of Kids Club is tonight. So the next 2 Wednesday nights, there will be no Kids Club, no ministry for the younger ages. While we transition, we have folks going on vacation this next week that will affect that anyway. So no kids club next week or the week after. 2 weeks, we'll have the Awana workers meeting. Yes, it is that time of year. Awana begins on August 19th, I believe it is. Something like that. But anyway, it's coming up soon. We got Sunday school promotion coming up. We've got all kind of things this month. So a lot of things going on. But just want you to be aware, next week, there is no kids club. Tonight is the very last night of that. So we're in that transition stage. Pray for Brother Ferris. He'll be preaching this Sunday. And remind us again where you're preaching this week.
Virginia Street Baptist Church in Oak Hill, down by Beckley.
So pray for him as he travels to preach. And he'll be doing that more and more here. I don't like it when he's gone. But that's what God wants him to do, so we're grateful for that too. Any special prayer requests tonight? Anything you'd like to mention? Special request? Daisy? So Parker is 7 years old with cancer. So pray for this little girl. Pray for family. Can't. Yeah. It's different when it's a child. It just is. Just is. You'll notice on our physical list we have at least, I think with Parker, we think we have 4 children under the age of 8 with cancer. That's hard. So especially pray for those families that have to go through that with their children. So it's just hard to watch a child suffer, just is. Anything else? Any other prayer requests tonight? John? So the Foxes leave tomorrow, I believe, and then the Hickmans leave on Friday. And anybody leaving Saturday? We have some men leaving on Saturday. We're taking, a good number of men down to help with recovery in Weston. So if you were not here in the meeting on Sunday morning and you intend to go, just show up here at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning. Even if you intend to drive down individually, which is perfectly fine, we need to go down together so that we'll all be there for assignments when we get there. So I don't know yet. I sent a mass text out today to those who are considering going. They have not yet determined what we will be doing, but there's a ton of work to do. So they're going to be specific with us, so we'll find out. And once we get down there, exactly where we'll be going. He also mentioned Chris and Ray went down yesterday and took some supplies down again. And he did mention to them at that time that women are encouraged to come. So if there are any women watching tonight or here that would like to go down, there is a lot that needs to be done. So women are invited to come as well. But that will be 7 o'clock here on Saturday morning. And I don't have a timeline how long we're going to be there. So again, if you need to drive because you have to come back, that's perfectly fine, but we can all travel down together. On the prayer list tonight, basically pretty much the same names. We have some names that need to be taken off that have not been taken off yet, but just remember like Jessica Sinclair and Brianna Elliott are a child, and Mallory Keeney, I did not know that. So, okay, so good. April's already had her baby. How's April doing, Brother Ferris? Have you heard any more? So Brian Ferrucci, chaplain in the Army in Hawaii, and his wife April. They used to serve over here at Hope's Point with Dan Vaughn, and he was my son's college roommate at Massillon Baptist College. Really quality man. Really loves the Lord, so continue to pray for them. No other updates on anyone. I guess college will be kicking back in about another month. So I know we got Connor and Ree still in. Is anyone else going to college? Chloe will be going? Okay. Glowing. Okay, so we'll put them down. Chloe. JJ. Okay. All right, if we don't have any other prayer requests, we'll go ahead and put those to the side, and we'll take our Bibles tonight. And 2 weeks ago, I asked a question, and that question is based on what we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and chapter 6. So we'll be headed back there tonight. And the question is this: are you a good ambassador? Everybody in this room is an ambassador. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you are an ambassador.
Amen.
You're either a good ambassador, or let me just be blunt, you're a bad ambassador. I'm sure over the course of the 250-year history of our country, there have been some really bad ambassadors. And every once in a while, you'll hear this term in the news: Ambassador so-and-so was recalled. And sometimes it's because they are not a good ambassador. They are not following the directives of the commander-in-chief. They're not following the directives of the president. And so sometimes they get recalled. Now, there may be other reasons they get recalled, but many times it's because of that. So we began to look at this, and we're not going to recap tonight as we did last week, but in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, just have you look at one statement, the beginning of verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And Paul is speaking this not only about himself, not only his ministry team, but he's speaking this to the believers at Corinth. He said, you, along with us, it's not just us apostles, it's not just the pastor of the church at Corinth. Every saint, and that's what he referred to these people at Corinth. He called them saints.
Yes.
He said, every one of us are ambassadors. So everybody in this auditorium right now, and everybody watching at home, every one of us are ambassadors. And the question I have to ask myself, I have to be honest with myself, am I a good ambassador or am I not a good ambassador for Christ? We crossed over into chapter 6 last week. And again, just show you this transition in verse 1 of chapter 6, going from verse 1 to verse 3. Paul said, we then, as workers together, I mean this, we individually go out and witness. I've had opportunities to talk to people individually where I'm out doing something else. But as a church family, he said, we then together with him, with Christ, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. So we saw how important verse 2 was, but for our purposes tonight, for time's sake, we're not going to go back over verse 2. But the point again is, God says, I am making you an ambassador. You are an ambassador, and it is a gift of God's grace that you are given this privilege, not only of having salvation, but of being able to carry the message of salvation to other people. It's a grace thing. And he said, don't receive this grace, this favor of God saying, hey, I can trust John Fox, I can trust Daisy Marsh to be my ambassadors to take the most important message that has ever graced the earth. I can trust them to take it to their neighbors, to their co-workers, to total strangers. I can trust them with it. He said, don't use this grace in vain. Don't use this grace in vain. And how is it taken in vain? It's taken in vain when we can be blamed and when we cause offense, when we muddy the name of Jesus Christ because we are not good ambassadors. We're not good ambassadors. And so he deals with this. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get further into chapter 6. Father, thank you for the opportunity to teach tonight and preach tonight your word. And really, there are so many needed subjects to to look at in your word for our personal growth and sanctification. But like no other, this particular ministry of carrying the gospel of your Son to those around us is really your heartbeat. You tell us that we have been created to bring you glory, and nothing brings you more glory than when the gospel is given, and because of it, people come into your kingdom. So, Lord, help us to understand the necessity of being not an ambassador because we are, but of being a good ambassador, and not taking your grace in vain with this great opportunity you've given us, and offending and being blamable with what you've given. So, Lord, teach us tonight. We'll thank you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul goes on here to describe what can cause, if you will, blame or offense, and what you can do not to cause blame and offense to the name of Christ, to make sure that your ambassadorship is glorifying to him, to make sure your ambassadorship will actually be effective. Let's be honest. We have all come around Christians and sometimes even ministers who are ambassadors. It's not really a question that they are saved. It's not really a question that they even share the gospel. Paul deals with this in chapter 1 of Philippians. Some suppose to add afflictions to my bonds. Some preach Christ for the wrong reason. Now, Paul did say, at least the name of Christ is getting out there. And I know it's the word of God that actually does the saving, not me, not you. But it sure helps the cause when God has a clean vessel. Amen. When God has an ambassador that is right and not causing offense and not causing, if you will, blame. And so we began to look a little bit last week at verse 4. And he begins to explain himself. He says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of Christ. And that word approve in part means to validate. So you can look at it that way. But in all things, validating ourselves. Are you validating yourself? I just, some of you will know what I'm referring to, a very well-known gospel preacher this past week was arrested. Was a shock to me, was a shock to many people, and I won't mention his name, but the ministry will be blamed because of what happened. The ministry will be offensive to those who have heard out of that minister's mouth because of what has happened in his life. Now, God can forgive him. And I hope that is already his attitude. I hope he has made things right with the Lord, made things right with his family, hopefully made things right with his church. But when we, as grace-filled peoples, misapply grace, we cause offense and we hinder people. And so he said, look, you need to validate yourself as a worthy and a good ambassador for him. So again, verse 4, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And he begins to list how this can be done. He said, in much patience. So we looked at that last week, to have an attitude of patience, and that is something that many of us struggle with. This is 30 plus years ago. This individual is no longer part of our ministry. He's been gone for many, many years. But I remember during that time, this individual had a very volatile temper. And quite honestly, a lot of people in the congregation here back all those years ago didn't want to be around this person. Stay away from that person because you don't know what you're going to get. That person just may blow up in your face. And that individual did at times blow up. Now, to the Lord's praise, I still know that individual, and that individual has gotten victory in their life. But when they were here, that individual did not. And I can tell you, when you get involved in ministry and you have that kind of a volatile personality and you don't show an attitude of patience with other people, you have a hard time gaining people's confidence. And he said, you need to be a person of patience. I showed you last week, 2 Corinthians 12:12, where Paul says, the signs of apostleship are in me. And he began with this, all patience. And then he went to the miraculous, all the sign gift kind of things. He said, it's not the sign gifts that validate me first and foremost as an apostle of Christ. It's my patience. Patience with what? First, patience with God. Are you patient with God? Can God allow heartache to come into your life, trials to come into your life, without you accusing God, without you getting bitter at God? Can God work in your life to grow you without second-guessing God? I wish I could stand here and tell you that every time in my life when God has put me to the test, I've passed with flying colors. That would not be true. We need to be patient first and foremost with God, because if you're not patient with God and allow Him to work the way He wants, you know what? You're going to be a lousy ambassador. Imagine tonight Mike Huckabee, ambassador to Israel, deciding because of some of the directives of President Trump that sometimes sounds almost anti-Israel. I mean, if we can be honest, some of the things that the president has done, Netanyahu needs to keep his mouth shut, Israel needs to stop doing this, you know, like, we're in charge, we're going to take over Gaza, we're going to do this. And I know Mike Huckabee, who was a Baptist pastor and appears to know Jesus as a Savior and is strong toward Israel, I'm sure he's sometimes scratching his head and saying, what in the world? It'd be very easy for him to lose patience with the president and begin to undermine his directives. That's not his job.
That's right.
His job is to carry out his president's orders, whether he likes them or not. And your job and my job is to carry out the orders of our God, our Savior.
Amen.
And allow Him to do in us what, to be honest with you, sometimes frustrates me. You're saying that sometimes God frustrates you? Yes, because I don't understand what He's doing. But I've always found He's right.
That's right.
Every single time,
yes,
even through painful things.
Praise.
So we need to demonstrate this validating of our ambassadorship through that means of patience. And He goes on to talk about, we are to approve ourselves in affliction. And I mentioned Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25 with Moses. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, that term, the pleasures of sin for a season, has a wide spectrum. For Moses, he was placed, adopted into the royal family of Egypt. He was given a life of luxury, great education, and could have maintained that status quo till he died. He chose not to. He said, no, I'm going to go after God, even though it's going to bring me suffering, it's going to bring me pain, it's going to bring affliction in my life, and I'm just going to follow God. Listen, sometimes when you choose to follow God, you are going to go through affliction. And it's not fun. God does not intend it to be fun. He makes those things become realities in our lives to show His great power through us. And you think about the Apostle Paul and the affliction that he went through. And he's one that's writing this. He is, through the Holy Spirit, the author of this book. And he suffered affliction, but he brought glory to God through every affliction that entered into his life. So he said, if you want to validate your ambassadorship, learn to be patient and learn to accept affliction in your life. It's not intended necessarily to be comfortable. You're not going to enjoy it, but God is doing something in you. Don't be quick to dismiss it. Don't be quick to run from those things. Thirdly, we notice in this verse, he says that we're to approve ourselves in necessities. We all have needs, right? Every one of us have needs in our life. And Paul had needs. He had need of clothing and food and at times medications. He had need of finances. He mentions those things. So I want you to go to the book of Philippians, and I want you to look first at chapter 1 and just look at verse 12, and you'll see how this kind of fits in. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me, these afflictions, these necessities, these needs, these hardships, the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Some of the things that we go through that we wish we didn't have to go through are actually for the furtherance of the gospel.
Yes.
And we may not see it immediately, but God has a purpose. And he said, we are to validate our ambassadorship through this matter of necessities, these hardships that come into our life. I'll just have you go over to chapter 4, and he kind of paints it black and white for us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Paul said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. He said, you were concerned for me, you wanted to do things for me, but the opportunity wasn't there for you to do it till now. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want. Listen to this, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and you know that term means to be brought low, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Validate your ambassadorship through necessities, through these hardships, these needs in your life, as you wait upon God to move in you. And what happens to a lot of Christians when necessities rise up, needs come up in our life, whether it's financial or physical, or waiting for God to work, people get frustrated with their Savior. And they leave, they walk away. And they take that grace of God that's in their life and they make it vain, not losing their salvation, but losing their effectiveness as an ambassador to share the gospel of Christ. Notice also in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 6, 5. He said, we need to approve ourselves in... at the end of verse 4, distresses, anguish, calamity, extreme pressure that's entering into our life. My wife and I met with someone several days ago, and after the conversation, my wife said to me, just seems like a lot of people deal with anxiety. A lot of people dealing with anxiety.
Yes, sir.
You know why? Because there's a lot of pressure in life. You know, our society, our culture has become one of instant this and instant that. Everything's supposed to be made easier. I mean, you don't have to cook. You can just do DoorDash and get a really nice meal. Do DoorDash. You don't have to labor. You don't actually have to clean your ladies' home, or your home's ladies. You could go down. There used to be a place right up here on 50 where they had a cleaning service. You could just have somebody come in for a couple hours and clean. My daughter, Chelsea, cleans homes down in Atlanta. We have this almost instant society and, you know, don't have to have worries. But you know what? It seems like everybody with all of our modern conveniences, an instant this and instant that, are still under extreme pressure.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't really quite make sense. But I wonder sometimes if maybe God said, you're trying to make life easy, and that's never what I intended. because when life is easy, you don't look to me. So I'll put some things in your life, even with all your ease, that will cause you either to get really anxious or to get really trusting. Now, I'm not, please don't misunderstand me. I know there are times where people have legitimate anxiety and they need help of a counselor. And I have encouraged people to go to counselors at times. I'm not opposed to that. I'm talking about born-again counselors now. I'm not opposed to that. But sometimes I think we deal with these things, and God says, I'm going to use this, these distresses in your life, to help approve your apostleship, if you will. So when you get into verse 5, he mentions some things that I think are could be categorized as distresses, such as, verse 5, stripes. What is that referring to? It refers to exactly what you think it means. We know the Apostle Paul suffered greatly. We know his back was laid open with rods and with whips. We know there at Philippi, I believe it was, where his back, he and Silas' backs were laid wide open. That famous passage, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" When that jailer at Philippi saw the joy in these men who were under distresses, extreme pressure, under physical stripes, their bodies badly beaten, badly bleeding, still looked to God. And their ambassadorship led to that man's salvation. God says, this is what I want you to do to validate your ambassadorship. Now, I don't wish this on anybody. I don't wish anyone to have to go through physical beatings. And right now, in our country, to God's praise and glory, we just celebrated it and honored it in this focus on our 250th anniversary. We don't face those things in this country. But our brethren on the African continent do, and on the Asian continent do. They do to some degree on the South American continent in certain places. It's things that we don't face. But at the same time, there are things that we now, even in the United States, are beginning to face that would add up to this distress level. Not physical stripes, but if you would, emotional stripes. I'm reading little things from Matt Staber and Liberty Council and maybe the ACLJ with Jay Sekulow and such. Instances, pastor arrested in Chicago, street preacher arrested in Philadelphia, and all of a sudden, things that are happening that you're never going to hear on CBS, NBC, or CNN. You're not going to hear those things, but they're happening.
Yes, sir.
They're happening now. Think of what Jesus said in Matthew 5:11. Remember these words. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." What did he tell us to do after that? Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. He said, I'm going to allow you to validate your apostleship. I'm going to do it at times through distresses, sometimes even being physically accosted, whether it's spending a night or two in a county jail, standing before some kind of magistrate and being sentenced maybe to prison for 3 months. Those things are happening in Canada now. It is illegal for pastors to preach certain things. For instance, homosexuality. You cannot mention that from the pulpit. You will go to prison, and there's no questions asked. The laws from Parliament in Canada are becoming more and more vile, and we're just behind them. We're just behind them. So he said, you need to approve yourself because I'm going to give you opportunity. I'm going to give you opportunity. When those opportunities come, we certainly want to honor our ambassadorship by honoring the one who sent us. He also uses in this fifth verse the term imprisonments. Again, another, if you will, attitude of being distressed, imprisonments. Of course, you know Paul, he was in prison all the time. we have what we call the you have the pastoral epistles, and then you have the prison epistles, and that covers, I think, Philippians and Ephesians and Colossians and Galatians too. All those prison epistles, because where was Paul when he wrote those books? He's in prison. And that's what makes the book of Philippians so interesting, because it's really, it's the book that some people call it the book of joy. Written in distress. Written under extreme pressure. Written with anguish in his life. But it was still a book of joy. And then he mentions this term, again, kind of an attitude of distresses, tumults. Tumults. It's an interesting word. I mean, you use the word yourself. Boy, that was a tumultuous this or that. You understand the word, and you just stop to think about it. Oh, yeah, it's like confusing. There's this order there. Think about this for a minute. How do I respond when serving Christ meets with confusion? I'm doing the right things. I'm trying to honor the Lord with my service to Him. But in the midst of it comes this tumultuous situation. I was just doing exactly what I was asked to do, and I got chewed out by some person. Some visitor came in there and chewed me out for not properly, you know, doing this or that. Or, you know, I taught something in a class and I had some student get angry with me and call a bunch of other people in that class and say he or she is not teaching correctly and causing trouble. You know, all of a sudden you got this confusion. Wait a minute, God, I'm serving you. This isn't supposed to be happening when I'm honoring you. I'm trying to be a good ambassador for you. Those things happen. A violent outburst by the lost due to doing the work of the ambassadorship for Christ. So here is Paul. And he goes in, you see the book of Acts, he goes into all these places and stands up at Ephesus. And he's preaching. And guess what? The glorious message of the gospel of Christ is being preached. And you know what happens? The crowd didn't like it. So what do? They try to attack him. You know, Philippi, what do? They beat him to within an inch of his life. And we can just go scenario after scenario after scenario with the Apostle Paul. And you ever wonder if maybe Paul in the back of his mind sometimes said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm supposed to suffer sometimes, but for the Apostle Paul was like all the time. God, I'm confused. Well, you know, I'm doing what's right. I'm trying to please you. Why are you allowing these things to happen to me? Those things are going to happen to you. In fact, I well believe that right now, as I look at you, some of you, if not many of you, have actually been through that scenario. God, this is confusing to me. I thought if I honored you in this way, I'd be blessed. I didn't think it was going to cause me trouble. I didn't think it would cause me separation with my friend. I didn't think I would get on the bad side of a church member if God, I'm confused. And here's what God tells us. Okay, you're my ambassador. When those tumultuous times come into your life, keep being my ambassador. Again, I'll just go back to the example of Mike Huckabee there in Israel. How many times has he had to step in the office of the prime minister of Israel or into the president? So they have prime minister and president in Israel. I wonder how many times he stepped into those offices trying to deliver the message of the president of the United States, and he's met with disdain and anger. And it's like, I thought a tumultuous kind of response. Those kind of things are going to happen. Those kind of things are going to happen. But again, as we go back to verse 1, we then as workers together with him, with the Lord, with Jesus Christ, we're pleading with you. We beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Okay, all these things are going to happen to you, but approve yourselves in these things that you don't fold under the pressure. Well, if this is what being the ambassador to Israel is like, I quit. And sometimes we as Christians have that same mentality. If this is what it means to be the ambassador for Jesus Christ, I quit. I don't want to be looked at with an attitude. I don't want to be disdained. I don't want to be argued with, so I'll just keep my mouth shut and I'll quit delivering that message of the gospel. And I'm going to tell you something, that's why many people will not witness. It's not because they don't know how. It's just one beggar telling another beggar where you found the bread of life. That's all it is. A lot of us don't witness like we should because we're afraid of what the response will be. We're afraid at the look of somebody's face. So we need to understand that we need to take these things. It's interesting that Paul gets real specific. You know, he could have just, in a sense, left a general comment. Just be a good ambassador for Jesus Christ. And don't take his grace in vain. Okay, well, I kind of get that. Okay. No. We're going to get real specific. This is the kind of thing sometimes that when people sit down and are being taught, whether it's by the pastor or a Sunday school teacher, it's like, I mean, we have to go through all these little things and go, you know, really? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit said, get real specific, Paul. I want these people to understand what is expected of them. So you look at the next one. He says, we're to prove ourselves, notice again here in verse 5, in labors. What is labor? Somebody tell me. Work. Probably the most dirty four-letter word around. We're traveling on the van, and Charles is my co-pilot. And, you know, we always talk and say, Charles, how's work today and all this kind of stuff? He says, bad today. I said, yeah, and of course you know where he works, so I won't mention it on live stream here. Don't want to get Charles in trouble, but he said, this person came in the first hour, stayed out, just smoking a cigarette for 1 hour. And then came in, went into the restroom, walked the single stall restroom, stayed in there for 1 hour. Came out, went into a break room, and stayed there for about 3 hours. End of the day came, he punched the time clock and went out, and he's one of the highest paid employees in the store. And we want to know why prices are so high in stores. You know, when you hear those kind of things, it's hard not to get upset at that, right? Let's be honest. I praise the Lord for the testimony of believers that have a good work ethic. And I've heard over the years, and I mean this sincerely, testimonies of people. Oh, that young man that goes to your church, he is a hard worker. That young woman, she is always on time. I've heard these things about our folks over the years. But you know, in general, our culture is one of laziness, of not being thorough in the tasks that we are given. I'm grateful it's not everybody, but that's kind of, and if you're not careful, and if I'm not careful, we can approach being an ambassador for Christ with a lazy attitude. I'd just rather not go tonight. Let somebody else do it. You know, I just stay home, watch TV kind of attitude. If we're not careful in this attitude of labors, we can develop a very bad testimony. And somebody look at Jeff Vaughn and say, he is a bad ambassador for Grace Baptist Church and for his supposed Savior, Jesus. As a pastor, sometimes I hear reports about other men in ministry who are lazy.
Yes, sir.
Won't do the work. I'll tell you a funny story. Back when I was here as youth pastor, we had a workman to come out and work on a refrigeration or a air conditioning unit out here. And so it's like, I want to go out and talk to him. And I started to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, yeah, I go to a church, and he's from Charleston. They sent this guy up here from Charleston. And so we began to talk, and he said, yeah, I go to church, blah, blah, blah. And I don't remember what kind of a church it was. It was not a Baptist church, but he said, we have Wednesday night services there. And I thought, well, that's a good sign. When the church still has Wednesday night services, that's a pretty big deal. And he said, yeah, we just got a brand new pastor in. And he said, Wednesday night service came, and everybody's in the auditorium, and the pastor wasn't there. So one of the deacons or trustees or somebody went back to his office and knocked on the door. You could see through that window, and he was in there. And he said, Pastor, the service is starting. Now, this is what he told me. He said he had his feet up on the desk, leaning back in his swivel chair with a cigar in his mouth. And this is what he said. I don't do Wednesday nights. That was the pastor that they had just hired. I've thought about that. I don't do Wednesday nights. And I know what would happen. There'd be a vote Sunday, and I would not be back. I'd definitely not be doing Wednesday nights anymore, or Sunday mornings, or Sunday nights, or any other day of the week. Am I approving myself in labor? We're called to work. We're called to work for Christ. He said we're to approve ourselves in watchings. Now, this is a hard one. The term watchings carries an attitude of sleeplessness. Not sleeping. And I guess the best illustration, go back to Jesus himself. You remember that night in Gethsemane, right before, just a few hours later, he will be tried and beaten and then sent to Calvary and die. But there in that garden, he took three of the apostles with him, Peter, James, and John, and said, I want you to come with me, and I want you to watch. And they didn't. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41 says, and so Jesus speaking to John and Peter and James, he said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can I tell you something? Daisy said it, how good the prayer meeting was Monday night, how wonderful the preaching has been the last four Sundays by these different men who have preached. And it's real easy to have, if you will, your spirit, you know, wow, you know. I see it every time our kids go to camp, whether it's the Wilds or Camp Faith, whatever it may be. Kids come back, they're all fired up, yes. And then about 2 weeks later, it's all back because our spirit is willing. But you know what? My flesh, Jeff Vaughn's flesh is weak. My flesh is weak. And if I'm not careful, that pattern continues. And I constantly take God's grace that he's poured into me in vain in front of a lost and dying world. I got to wondering, because I remember a statement that was made about James and Peter and John, these men who, after being asked to watch along with Christ, fell asleep. And in Luke 22:46, it said they were sleeping for sorrow. They were sleeping for sorrow. They got real sorrowful because that day in the upper room before they went out to the garden, Jesus got real blunt with them. I'm going to die. And you're not going to see me anymore. The Bible said that sorrow filled their hearts, and that attitude continued all the way into the garden. So when Peter, James, and John are there, supposing to have the purpose of watching, to pray and uplift Jesus in his humanity, they were so taken back emotionally, they couldn't watch with him. Every one of us deals with sorrow. Every one of us deals with heartache. And here's what our King asked us as ambassadors to do. Do not let your sorrow overwhelm you to where you become useless to me. Don't become useless. In fact, God can use your sorrow, the things you're going through, and actually to enhance your testimony and to make you a more effective ambassador for him. Don't depend on your flesh. Make sure you're in this book every single day. Make sure you're constantly running to him and saying, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, control my tongue. Holy Spirit, control my thoughts. And then as you read this book and he's showing you how those things can be implemented through the Holy Spirit, be obedient to him. We'll look at one more and we'll stop for the night. The end of verse 5, he says, we are to approve ourselves in fastings, in fastings. And when he talks about fastings, he's meaning that. I want you to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just a few pages over. I want you to notice something. Paul goes through this long list, if you will, of the things that he had to suffer. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Of course, you know, that was the law. You could only lay 40 stripes on a person just so that they wouldn't go over. They only gave 39 in case they miscounted. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and in painfulness, in watchings often. I find that interesting. Paul had to watch and pray. He had to watch and pray because of the attacks of Satan. And that's one thing we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. We're to watch because we have an enemy that would take advantage of us. You got to watch. So I find that interesting. He goes on to say, in hunger and thirst, and then he uses this term, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and so forth. But you notice, when it talks about fastings, it's not necessarily talking about the state that Paul at times found himself in, where he's physically hungry, where he physically had to go without. He said, there are times I give myself over to fasting. I give myself over to fasting. And I'll say it this way, it's probably not the right term to use. That is a lost art. Christians don't fast. Christians don't fast. And said, you know what, if you really want to be a really good ambassador for Jesus Christ, and you don't want to take the grace of your God in vain, then you need to approve yourselves as a good ambassador by fasting, denying yourself. For my son, Chris, he cannot afford to physically fast as I do. He can't afford to do that. It would kill him. And I know there's people in our congregation who have major medical health problems that fasting would probably greatly hurt their life. Can't do that. There are different means of fasting. It's not just necessarily a food fast. But normally when we think about fasting, that's what we think about. And for most of us, typically, that's what God would have us do. Because when you haven't eaten for a while, you get hungry. And you begin to crave things. And it was no different for Jesus those 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And that's when Satan tempted him, you know, food. Turn that bread into food there, over there. You're God, you can do that. And he said, we need to approve ourselves. And I just find that interesting that he would include that. The necessity of fasting in the believer's life. Remember Jesus made the statement, this kind comes not forth but by prayer and fasting. Not just prayer, fasting. Just focusing on God, getting real serious with God. And I think, in a sense, fasting is getting really serious with God. So, he said, these are many of the ways, and he goes on with this list, that you can approve, validate your ambassadorship before others, and not take that grace of God that's in your life. And if you are saved, you won't lose that grace, but you can sure make it look muddy to others. And he said, I want you to validate your apostleship, your ambassadorship, rather, before others. So we'll stop there tonight. Let's just have a word of prayer, and then afterwards, if you'd like to stay and pray for a few minutes, we can do that. Father, I thank you for what your word is teaching us. We will take our ease when we step into heaven.
Yes.
We'll lay our burdens down when we step into heaven. We'll no longer suffer hunger when we step into heaven. We'll no longer be misunderstood when we enter into heaven. But we're not in heaven. We're on the battlefield. We're in a foreign country, and we're your ambassadors in this foreign country. And I ask, Lord, you'd help us to validate our ambassadorship. And Lord, use us to not muddy your name or bring offense to your name or to your gospel, but that we would lift it up. The Lord will thank you for that. I need this, I think, more than anybody else in this room right now. So, Lord, deal with me, deal with each person in this room. And Father, we'll thank you. As we take a few moments to pray, pray, God, that you would just be pleased to answer the prayer of your people. And as we leave this place tonight, would you just give us safety going home? And again, can't help but think about all those people in Weston and Upshur County that are in such need. Help us to be a blessing Saturday, whatever else you'd have us to do in the weeks to follow. Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll go ahead and pray.